Hello,
Hey, Michael, welcome. We're gonna let the room fill up here just a couple seconds, wait for Josh to come on up and get this rolling. How are you doing today?
sounds great. Doing great, Shane. How about yourself?
Good. You're so much better than James Booth. We can hear you. You're actually you can actually
I'm glad.
connect.
Yeah, I'm glad. I listened to a little bit of that last week. That was a little rough, but you guys made it through pretty good. Had a good conversation anyway.
Yeah, I mean that's part of we could check the mics ahead of time, we could prepare, but it's Josh and I. So if you've ever read my blog, you know that punctuation and grammar is not my thing, although I'm getting better thanks to ChatGPT.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, aren't we all? Well, I just talked to Josh earlier, so he should be coming up here pretty soon. He's the free-flowing one. I'm the one that's supposed to be the moderator here, so but I'll give him a little bit more time. He does have kids. Anybody with the kids gets like 5 to 10 minute leeway on everything in life.
Exactly. Yeah, I have my first son here the last couple of years, and yeah, I feel that we definitely find
Yeah.
myself running late more often than I used to, and I hate being late, and so that bothers me. But at the same time, like, you know what? I can't force my kid out the door. You know, it takes time to get him dressed, get him fed. So
You know who doesn't mind being late is your kid, evidently.
yeah.
That's
Yeah, they have no sense of time, especially at that age, so.
Yeah, my daughter's 25 and she still doesn't seem to grasp time as much as I do. I've chalked it up to age for 25 straight years, but we'll see. All right, we got Josh
Yep.
coming up here. Josh, you coming, brother? Oops. Try this again. Hey, what's up, Josh? Pretty good, pretty good. We're just talking kids like we always do, kind of the center of everything, but we'll go ahead and get rolling today. How you doing? Are you getting better weather down south than we are up north, Josh?
No, it rained all day, actually. Thunderstorms and everything. It's the first day in a while that it's been pretty miserable here.
Yeah, well, every day can't be paradise down in Florida.
I know this is the best time of year for sure, but today is not great. It's not cold, but it's rainy and nasty.
Yeah, I was down there. I was down in Naples and it was 81 degrees and just absolutely perfect. And meanwhile, my wife is at 18 degrees and she didn't answer any of my how look how great it is here texts that I sent her for some reason.
Can't imagine why.
Exactly. All right, well, I'll go ahead and start everything and introduce myself, and I'll let these guys introduce themselves as well. We've got a great guest, Michael Law, been a friend, really been, for me personally, any things that I've had in the domain industry, I've called him up to bounce things off of him. I do that with Michael Saiger and a couple of people I really respect in the industry, and he is definitely one of them. I've really followed his path here in the domain industry. And we're going to get to talk about that and how he came about, what he does on a daily business. A lot of you are interested in brokerage and outbound. I'm sure he gets lots of emails wanting to be have their domain sold, but he's going to really share what it looks like from the inside to help us get better from a domain aspect about what that looks like from just parking and letting it sit there. What does the other side look like in actually reaching out and trying to sell domain? So I'm Shane Coltra. I am a retired nurseryman for 30 years. I've grown plants, so I've learned patience and building business. And on the side, I've built a nice domain portfolio. I've got 600 or 700 domains. I'm mostly a park and wait guy, but I love domains. I realize their value, their doorway, and so that's what I do for a living now, amongst a couple other things. But I would consider myself a medium-sized domain investor, but an all-in domain investor. And I'll let Josh introduce himself.
Sure, yeah, I'm a massive domain investor, basically the best one in the world, and I enjoy doing a couple Twitter spaces and podcasts here and there. Thanks for joining us.
And Michael, go ahead and introduce yourself, kind of your role, a little bit about yourself. Let the people below know who you are if they don't already know.
Sure. Yep. Michael Law here. I'm in Denver, Colorado. I've been in, had my toes in the domain business for quite a while, but been full-time brokering with Grit Brokerage now for just over 5 years. Started with Brian back in 2018, and we have really grown Grit to be a one of the top brokerages in the space. We specialize in outbound marketing. We have Marine on the team who handles acquisitions for us. I do handle acquisitions as well for several clients that specifically ask me to help them. And yeah, I also have a portfolio of domains around 500 or 600, so nothing huge. Actively trying to upgrade my portfolio, but most of my names are just kind of set it and forget it as well, and sales trickle in here and there, and it's been a good source of side revenue as well.
So how did what led the path to domains? What were you doing like out of school, and what did you think you were going to do, and what did your career look like early that kind of led you towards domains to where you are now? Because nobody comes out of high school or college saying, I'm going to be a domain broker. I don't think there's many people that I've ever met that have that path. What was your path to get here?
Yeah, exactly. So it's been kind of a long progression, actually, and I'll try and kind of pare it down to keep it fairly short. But in the early 2000s, when I was in college, I kind of dabbled in flipping domains. I found out that there was kind of a domain aftermarket. I saw forums that were active, and kind of dipped my toe in, flipped a few names. But of course, got sidetracked, doing plenty of other stuff in college, and I kind of put it down for quite a while. But I knew there was opportunity there, and I knew, still early in that game. So it wasn't until about, I think, 2007 or 8 when I started the domain blog and news site. It's called nametalent.com. And that was kind of put me on the map and got my network growing with the domain industry. Got a couple sponsors, and I started using that money to buy domain names for my own portfolio and grow my own portfolio. NameTalent is currently Bob Hawks still carries the torch on that. He runs it. It's no longer my site, but he periodically posts articles on there, and I'm just so glad that a talented writer like Bob actually is still keeping the site live. And then, so it was in, I think, 2010, went to my first domain conference. That was DN Cruise. And I was just kind of blown away by the character of people that I met. I met some of my best friends still in the industry today, Braden and Morgan, and some of the domain holdings guys, Chad, and some other people. So it was really eye-opening for me to go to a domain conference, see, just how open, these kind of bigger investors and people who've been in the industry for a long time have are to new folks in the industry. And you just kind of fell in love with not only domains, but the whole domain business and the people coming out of that conference. Started going to more conferences. And then in 2011, 12, and 13, I ran a local meetup here in Denver. It was called Rocky Mountain Domain Conference. That was a pretty successful little gig. But at the same time, while I was running that, I still wasn't having the success that I, really envisioned with domains. So I was working domains on the side, and I got into the car business. One of my best friends in the world, Mike Awada, his uncle owned a car dealership, and I started helping them buy inventory. And so that really kind of led me to understand like the discipline needed in acquiring and identifying not only cars to buy for the dealership, but domains and assets on the domain side. And worked into in the dealership role. I got into sales, finance, did a few years of that, and then started flipping some cars on my own. And it was the car business that really kind of opened my eyes as to, you know, how to do proactive sales, how to be, you know, kind, but also, you know, follow up enough and you know, get sales done, get them over the finish line. And again, that discipline aspect really came into play as far as growing my portfolio the right way. And I think so it was I've quit selling cars full-time and went full-time into domains after I had met Brian, my partner at Grit Brokerage here. And that was back in 2018. And we've just been full steam ahead since then.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you've been in it 15 years. I'm the same way. It's hard to believe that it's been 15 years. Josh, were you here when Deanne Cruz was around with Chef Patrick, ran his boat, his domains on a boat? Were you even around then?
No, brother. I think I was still in diapers, man.
So that's just the kidding. Funny thing, though, is like, you know, having registered my first domain back in, you know, the 2000s, like 2001 or two or whatever it was, and you would think that I'd be sitting on a beach somewhere just with a huge, amazing portfolio of premium domains and watching the money roll in. But it just wasn't, you know, I wasn't honed in, and I didn't take all of the opportunity that was there to learn. And it really wasn't until, later, 10, 12 years later, that I dove into all the resources that were actually there to help me learn. And a lot of people get into it, they register some names, you know, they think they know what they're doing, it doesn't work, and they put it down and they say, that's just not for me. But I always just knew that there was, you know, that there's tons of opportunity in this business. And thankfully, I stuck with it.
Yeah, I'd agree. Josh, how long would you say it took you to feel like you were good at it? Was it years, months? Like, what was your pathway? Mine was probably 3 or 4 years. What was yours?
It was quite a while, yeah. At least that. I didn't feel like I got that good at it until I actually moved to full time. And when I did move to full time, I got good at it just because I bought so much and failed so much that I finally figured out what I needed to be doing. And real quick, shout out to Michael and Brian from Grit. Like, for those of you that don't know them, they're awesome guys. I went on their Grit podcast earlier this year, live in person here in Jacksonville, and chatted with Brian. And the young guy that is on Brian's team who runs the podcast, I can't remember what his name is, Michael. Colby, yeah, really nice guy. And that was literally right after they helped with a sale. They had a buyer that bought a name from me for 150K. So that was nice earlier in the year. And then just now, just yesterday, I closed a deal on the buy side with Michael. So, great guys, and really, really glad to have you on, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Josh. I appreciate it. And both you and Shane, I really appreciate all that you've done for the industry. You know, Shane, you've been so supportive of myself and my journey as a broker, you know, whether it's referrals or shout outs, you know, can't thank you enough for all that you've done. And I, you know, all that you're doing with DSAD as well. That is just so impressive to, you know, keep it running for so long, so consistently, and, you know, sharing domains every day. And then Josh, like, the things you've done in the industry in such a short time is amazing. I really love DNWE, and I bought and sold a lot of names from DNWE and profited well. And I've already picked up several names using GTDN. Can't wait for the next evolution of that. And I've already gotten offers on some of the names that I've picked up from using GTDN as a platform as well. So yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it's all about. I mean, seeing, you know, if there's people here in the crowd listening, don't get frustrated. It takes several years to get going, and there are more resources than ever. I mean, when we started, not saying that there weren't resources, but it was really more people talking to each other and being supportive and pointing things out. Now, you know, you have people, again, like Michael Seiger, I keep mentioning his name, people that bring out tools, the new tools you have, the spaces, the podcast, you know, these are all within the last 10 years. So there is plenty of opportunity to learn, but consistency is everything. Just sticking with it. It'll be like a 10-year overnight success or a 2-year overnight. There'll be something that's your big catalyst. I mentioned on a Spaces with Ish. It'll be just work, 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 and then it'll be that tipping point, you know, that Malcolm Gladwell tipping point where you find something that really works for you, get that one domain sale that really finances the rest of your portfolio. You just have to keep at it and do money management until you hit that point. And going back to Grit, you know, definitely one of the top brokerage teams out there. You know, we love Media Options. We love Grit. We love Saw. Hilco's doing a great job. You guys are the top in the business. So it's a testament to you and Brian. You know, there's a lot of people trying to sell domains, a lot of outbounders, but the people that have true success are really limited to, you know, a couple dozen teams. And you're definitely one of them. But again, this is not overnight. This is something you're getting better and better every year. So no, I testament to you. And friendships are great, but our friendships are based on quality people, right? Not how many domains they sell, but what kind of people they are and their intelligence. And you showed that right out of the gate. So a lot of back padding here, but all deserved, in my opinion. That's why we're all standing up here. All right, I'll get a couple questions I had for you, kind of a moderator. What's a typical day as a domain investor or a broker look like for you? What do you spend your time on emails? What does it look like?
Sure. I'm up early every morning. So I'm usually up by 5:30, 5:45, get up, get a pot of coffee going, you know, kind of do some stretching, some breathing, get ready for the day. And then log on to email. I'm usually handling inbound, any solid inbound inquiries that came in overnight, follow up on any deals that need attention, you know, whether they're in escrow or whatever needs to get moved along. And a lot of times early in the morning, I'll have international calls, you know, so speaking with clients or prospects we're pitching that are, you know, in Asia or Europe or Australia. Push pause on that by around 7:30, and I get my son up, get him fed and dropped off to the nanny, usually, you know, mid-morning. And then I'll usually try and get out, depending on weather, and take my dog out for a walk for about an hour or so, get some fresh air, kind of get ready to go back to work and get on the grind. So get back to the home office and usually work on outbound for several hours, do some more phone calls, follow-ups, and work through the afternoon, have a quick bite for lunch, usually mid-afternoon around 2:30 or so. You know, I can go do errands or hit the gym before picking my son back up. And then once I pick my son back up from the nanny, it's family time. You know, my wife cooks dinner, we hang out, play with my son until he goes to bed. And then I'll be back on catching up on some more emails once he's in bed for a couple hours, and then usually try and do some work on my own portfolio at that point. So, you know, stay busy during the day, but a lot of these things are all flexible too, though. That's the beautiful part about this industry and this job is nothing's set in stone. So, you know, if I need to do other errands, you know, just go do them.
Do you, Michael, do you represent your own names, or do you not have time to represent your own names?
Yeah, I don't. Some of them sit on our landing pages, and so I'll handle some of the inbound leads. And sometimes if I get a good lead on one of my own names, I'll kick it over to Brian and let him work it so that there's kind of a buffer between myself and the buyer. You know, that's usually on the higher end names, just so that, you know, I can kind of have his feedback as well, as far as, you know, the offer and stuff like that. But no, I don't usually, we don't outbound any of our own domains here. We're working on clients' names.
Do you at least use like a great brokerage landing page on your name, or are you, you like completely on the dark side and got after Nick working your names?
No, I think it's probably about a third. I've got a third of my names maybe on Gritlanders, and then another portion on some PPC landers. I've got a handful at After Nick, and then a handful on like Adam and Brand Bucket as well.
He's gone. That was perfect time for me to ask if your PPC landers perform as badly as Adam Strong's.
Yeah, I saw Adam's thread the other day. Yeah, no, usually if they're not performing, I'll just pull them off and put them on a sales lander. But then the ones that are, you know, I'll just go ahead and let them sit there and make a little revenue. But it's funny, this is a first, last, 2024 is the first year where I got consistent PPC payouts. And so that was kind of nice. You know, obviously that means I'm upgrading the portfolio as well. So,
real quick, Shane, shout out to EnglishBulldog.com, who I haven't seen on Twitter for about 4 years.
No, we touched base again behind the scenes. I mean, English Bulldog, I love the man. I love, our DMs are some of my favorite DMs, and he was the man and still is the man. I think he's got a couple gold apes still. So I don't know how much he's made. I don't want to speak for him. Maybe someday he'll get up here and talk, but he was the ape guy that I talked to, and he seems to kill it at everything he does. So yeah, it's nice to see him.
I knew him before Apes, because he was in domains. Like he was one of the first guys to sponsor my podcast. Do you remember me talking about digitalstartup.com? That was him.
Yeah, I did that together.
Yeah. So, and then like, then he like, when he saw that like you and I and Morgan and all like got into Apes, that's when he got in. And then he just like did it a lot better than we did.
I'll say he did a lot better. He still got two gold apes. And I mean, those were millions of dollars at one point in time. So yeah, no, he's been a big supporter, a great person to talk to. And again, I love watching people have success. One of my superpowers is I have no envy. I just admire. I'm not envious of anything. And he's certainly a person I admire. So yeah, it's good to see him out and about. I'd like to see him more, speaking more, because he certainly has a lot to share. But yeah, great shout out. Thanks, English Bulldog, for all you do. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually just went to EnglishBulldog.com, and it looks like he's got a pretty sweet portfolio on Adam here. So, yeah, nice names there.
I'm sure he's killing it. He's doing a great job. So, yeah, no doubt about it. And on PPC, is there still a business model there? I'm sure there's people that still do quite a bit. I mean, when I hit my $100 mark, I celebrate. I mean, I haven't hit that. I hardly ever hit the $100 payout mark.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just get a name that that just performs well. And so if you just have one or two names that are making, you know, $20 a month or something, it makes it worth it. But those are kind of few and far between. I know there's definitely a business model there. I know there's folks that still do it. But yeah, that's why I just keep like a small portion of the portfolio on landers like that.
Can I ask you something, Michael? I'm sure this is going to come up at some point, but
yeah.
Are you mostly handling buy requests, or are you more like focusing on like domainers as clients and then handling their inbound leads and outbounding their domains?
Yep. I'm more on the sales side and dealing with our clients and doing outbound marketing. I know that a lot of brokers, you know, would rather just be doing buy requests and doing acquisitions for clients. And I'm more than happy to do those for a lot of our clients. I think right now I'm probably working on four or five acquisition requests, so not a whole lot. But definitely, it's part of the business that, part of my income for sure. But we also have Maureen Sullivan on our team who, she's solely doing acquisition and buy side requests.
That's cool. Do you see a lot more people, I guess if you could give like a rough breakdown, are most people requesting .coms or are most people requesting like alternate TLDs like IO, AI, XYZ, whatever it might be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'd say about 75% are looking for .com. And actually, you know, a few people who I've helped get .IOs in the past or like a .co, they're like, they've grown and they come back to me a couple years later and they're like, hey, can we look at the .com now? So definitely, you know, especially the one word .coms, you know, I just think that they're growing in demand faster and faster. And that's usually what we're working on the buy side.
Yeah. Give me your pitch as to why on the buy side, why going through a broker is better. Is it you have access and can get to the people that have the domains more than they can? Can you get a better pricing because you're better negotiators? What's your advantage as Grit Brokerage or yourself?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, it's good to, you know, so a lot of companies, they want to do it stealth anyway, so they need someone in between, and they may not know where to start. You know, a lot of times they just don't, you know, if it's under privacy or whatnot, you know, they just don't really know how to get in touch. So there's that, you know, there's a much better chance that we can actually track down the owners, and we're going to be very persistent on that. The other thing is when you have a broker who's working for you, you know, the persistence comes in, but if it's you and you're representing your company and you're emailing, you're following up with, you know, a domain owner, you know, multiple times a month, you know, they can just sit there and they say, this guy really wants the domain. He's going to pay me a lot of money for it. Look how desperate he is. But as a broker, you know, and same on the outbound side, following up and being persistent, it's just our job. And, you know, and I think people understand that, you know, I get paid on commission only. So I'm trying to put deals together every day. And, so the persistence comes in and it helps. And a lot of times, like on a buy request, I've had to follow up maybe 10 to 15 times before I got a response. And so when you hire us, you know that we're going to do the work. You know, some people who are who I've talked to who tried to acquire a name on their own, they said, yeah, I sent him an email, you know, a couple of years ago, and then I followed up like last year and no one ever got back to me. So our job is to try and get results and get you that answer. And then, of course, on the negotiating side, you know, we know how domain owners in general kind of think, and we usually have a good idea on the value of the name and on the profit margin that the domain owner might have. And so it helps us to not only negotiate a name, but just kind of bring the buyer and the seller kind of into the zone where a deal can happen. So yeah, negotiating, having us work for you is going to be quite a bit more advantageous as well, because not only do you have us helping with negotiations, but a lot of buyers, they're going to get frustrated or upset, you know, if they don't like the number that the domain owner spits out. So we're there as a buffer as well to kind of tamp down the emotions and just, you know, kind of peel back the layers and get to the number that is going to make everybody happy.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Absolutely. The more you talk about it, the stealth is certainly important. The negotiation, consistency, tenacity of getting. Yeah, absolutely makes sense. Now, as a professional, what about, like, without giving any secret sauce away, what are some SaaS tools? What are tools that you use on a daily basis to keep organized, to reach out? What kind of tools are you using to make things easier and more efficient?
Yep, for sure. We use Gmail and Streak mainly. A few other plugins in the G Suite that help us. Just looking at some of the tabs that I have open right now, we use Domain IQ is a huge tool for us. Ahrefs, NameBio, Crunchbase, and LinkedIn. I really like LinkedIn. I think it's kind of underrated. And the Sales Navigator. So when you have LinkedIn Premium, the Sales Navigator is a great tool for contacting company executives and also hard to reach domain owners. ChatGPT, of course, USPTO for seeing trademark data, and WhatsApp is a huge tool that I use.
Michael, what does that look like when you reach out to, let's say you're using the Sales Navigator and you reach out to an executive on LinkedIn after identifying that they might be a buyer for one of your domain names? What does that messaging look like?
Yep. So the cool thing is with Sales Navigator, it allows you to send a message to people who you may not be able to send a message to just on regular LinkedIn. And the other thing that's neat about that is that it's actually going to email them the message that you sent. So when you're sending messages through LinkedIn with a non-premium account, they have to actually log in, look at their messages. And a lot of times they'll just read the first line and they'll be like, okay, just archive that. But when you're actually sending it through Sales Navigator, that message that you sent is being sent to them, and you put a subject in the message line as well. So that is being sent to their email as well. So it's not just pinging them with a notification on LinkedIn. It's an email. You're sending like a separate email to them. So that's super useful.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they won't respond back on the LinkedIn thread, but they'll circle back to you just on regular LinkedIn or on email.
On email. Do you include a price when you're reaching out?
It depends on the name. For high-end names, no. For, you know, stuff a little bit lower, yeah, we do sometimes.
So it's a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Do you have like a threshold for that? So like on a $100,000 name, would you not quote a price? Or
yeah, probably not. I think that under 50 is when you can put a price out there pretty comfortably. And then, you know, as I'd say, you know, as negotiating happens or an owner gets more motivated to sell a domain, if there's a price drop, you can follow up with that, whether it's you just say, hey, there's a new price for the domain, get in touch, or, put the price out there, say, hey, the price has been reduced to this, you know, let me know what you think if you want to move forward.
Mm. Are you typically trying to get in touch with CEOs, CMOs, CIOs, like what would you, or legal counsel, like what would be your like preferred point of contact if you're reaching out to a larger company with like a full-on C-suite?
Yep. So I always want to at least connect with the CEO. Want them to see, at least the initial message, but a lot of the follow-ups and stuff are going to be with CMO, CLO, COO. Those folks are usually handling, you know, the negotiation, and they'll take, messages back to the team. Sometimes the CEO will respond and then they'll tell you who the point person is to talk to. And sometimes my messages to CEOs are, hey, the domain's available. Let me know who's the best person in, you know, at your organization to discuss this with. And then they'll get back to you with, you know, with an answer rather than just ignoring it, because it's not, you know, they don't have time for that a lot of times, CEOs.
Yeah. So, you've obviously done a lot of outreach, represented a lot of names. How often are you reaching out on names where it's like a brand upgrade versus names where it's like an exact match, like product fit to that brand?
Right. A lot of times, you know, and it's preferable to work on brand upgrades, you know, like a oneword.com where they're on get one word and you have one word. So, you know, those are better to work on. And companies are just focused on branding. We do work on keyword names. There are companies out there that will buy them. It's just not as deep a value as they used to be, in my opinion. And just like maybe a random example, something like area rugs.com or something like that. So say a lot of people would think that the potential buyer for that would be, you know, Carpet Mill or Carpet Exchange. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that those companies are focused on their brand. You know, if they wanted area rugs.com, they'd already have it, right? So if you're outbounding like a name like that, then what I would suggest looking for is other companies that are that have area rugs in their current domain, whether it's, you know, buy area rugs or whatever it is, or other companies in the space that are using super generic names like a rugs.com or carpets.com or something like that. So yeah, that, I think there's a difference there. And again, the keyword names, I think a lot of them can be a bit too generic sometimes. And yeah, right now things have shifted. You know, 15 years ago, those were some of the most valuable names in the world. And right now, you know, companies are more focused on brands.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's everything that we know of, just from like a, especially, you know, from an inbound perspective, we, you know, it's pretty obvious that those type of names are less desirable. But I think that there'll be a lot of people out there that still think that those are some of the easier names to outbound, which may be the case from like a quantity of prospects standpoint, mm-hmm. but probably not from a closing those prospects standpoint.
Right. And people still, it's frustrating because some of the, like Estabot, you know, it'll value a keyword name like hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, and people come to us and they're like, this keyword name is worth $500,000. And then what's even more frustrating is a lot of times they had an offer of $200,000 in like 2009 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have to tell them like, that was probably the best offer you're ever going to get. You know, like unfortunately, right now the name isn't worth that much anymore. And so if you know, we have to tell them, if you want us to work on that, you know, we want to have a realistic chance to sell it. It's got to be in a price range where we think we can get it sold, which right now is probably five figures.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess like in the brokerage world as well, I see this a lot, and from various brokers where they're trying to, you know, there'll be like a old school owner of a domain name that is desirable that, you know, suddenly decides they want to sell their name, and they'll perhaps reach out to numerous brokers at once, and you know, what they want to hear is the broker tell them, you know, it's worth, you know, a lot of money, whatever their price expectations are, or more. Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of the time, I guess brokers will try to win that business by basically saying, you know, giving a dollar amount that is much higher than maybe what the domain is worth. What would you do in that situation as a broker? And, you know, if you're trying to win a client in order to represent that name, are you trying to bring down their expectations before taking them on, or are you happy to just say like, yeah, we'll try and sell it at that, and then, you know, get around to it later in terms of bringing their expectations down?
Yeah, it depends. You know, every name's different, right? So I think it depends on the name. I definitely think it's important to kind of bring the expectations to a realistic level before you take the domain to market. But there will be some domains where the keywords are, you know, just that good, where it's probably worth it to give it a try. I mean, I, you know, what I think may not be what's actually true. So, you know, if I think it's not, you know, the ship has sailed for that, you know, name to sell for six figures or something like that. It may be worth a try just to find out anyway. And if folks have had offers in the past, and, you know, impressive offers in the past, then it might be worth it to, you know, take it on, try and revive that offer, and just see where you can go from there. So, but yeah, I think every name is different. So sometimes I'll think that, you know, hey, we just need to bring the expectation down, you know, or we can't work on it at that level. Other times it's like, you know what, it's probably worth a shot.
Yeah. Is there any, I mean, I know that brokers have lots of different, well, for the most part, brokers are getting compensated, you know, a flat fee based on the acquisition price. I know that Bill Sweetman does things a little differently when he goes out and acquires names. Do you think that the way that brokers do it today is the optimal way of essentially being paid on transactions?
Yeah, so on the buy side, and again, for myself, I always just do it a straight commission, lower than on the sale side for an acquisition. And I think that's fair. And, you know, I always talk to my, you know, prospective clients and tell them, like, look, while it is a commission, I'm, you know, for acquisitions for me, you know, my goal is to help you get the best deal possible. So I'm not going to try and drive up the price. And they understand that as the relationship grows, because they'll see me giving them advice on how to negotiate. You know, they may say, let's make a, you know, $50,000 offer. And I'll tell them, all right, instead of going that high that fast, you know, actually, let's probably better to start at 25,000 or something like that. So I think it's fair to have a commission on both sides, on sales and acquisitions. And then just, you know, on the outbound and on the sales side, working on commission is always done well for us.
Yeah. Do you ever put a structure together where if you can save buyer money on the acquisition price, that you as the broker are able to share some of those savings? For example, the price is 50,000. They say, you know, we would spend the 50,000, but if you can get it down to, you know, 25K, you know, we'll split those savings with you.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done that for sure. And that's the fun part about, you know, the business, is that there's so many different ways you can structure contracts and deals. But for the most part, we try and keep it simple when it comes to, you know, the car compensation. It's usually not something that we suggest, but we're open to our, you know, our clients' suggestions.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a deal where client reached out to me, and I don't do very much brokerage, but in this case I did. It was a seven-figure deal, and they specifically reached out to me and requested and said, hey, if you can bring the price down from X to Y, we'll share those savings with you. And I don't know. I feel like it is a good, it does bring a kind of like win-win scenario to the table.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're definitely open to, you know, deal structures like that as well.
Yeah. I think the incentivization works in that way, because as you're trying to sell something, obviously a broker is driven to get the highest price possible, because you've got commission, where on the buy side, your commission, actually the better you do, you get paid less. So it's actually anti getting the best price when it comes to commission. But I think the most important thing is what you said, Michael, and that's, it needs to be open and upfront, right? If somebody says they're willing to spend 50,000 and you know you can get it for 10,000, then you can always negotiate maybe a bonus or whatever you want to call it for a better buy. But the big no-no is you get it for 10 and charge them 50, right? That's a definite no. Like, it has to be open and honest and agreed upon on how that acquisition is going to be. So
yeah, transparency and honesty is such a big deal in our business. I mean, you could blow up your reputation real quick. And the other thing that I think is important when you're doing acquisitions, and what's really been big for us is, you know, say you get your client a phenomenal deal. Maybe they had a budget of, you know, $100,000 for a domain, but you got it for $20,000. And so instead of making, you know, five figures on that deal, you made a couple thousand dollars or whatever. But they're so happy about the deal that they might be willing to, you know, shout you out on a podcast, or they're going to refer clients to you, maybe on the sales side, who have, you know, phenomenal domains that they're looking to sell. And so it's more about, you know, servicing the client and growing our network, rather than worrying about every last penny that you can make from commission.
No, very well put. This is a long-term game, and a happy client is a win situation down the road as well. Absolutely. On a little broader, do you ever like blanket email? Do you ever use like an Apollo or something like that, where you set up a series of emails and you pick your targets and then have automated emails, or do you do everything by hand?
Yeah, a lot of it is by hand. We do some automated emails, and we still use Gmail for that. And I will say that, you know, the first two or three emails for not all of the outbound, but for a lot of the outbound, are, you know, kind of scripted messages. You know, you just want to let them know the domain is for sale. You're not pitching. You just want to make sure they're getting the emails, and, you know, use email tracking to see that at least if the emails are being opened.
And do you put attention into the email as far as the spam filters and warming your email, or whatever you want to call it? Are your emails strong enough that you feel they'll get through? Is there anything you're doing special to your emails themselves to make sure that you get the highest percentage through rate on all your emails?
Yeah, you know, we test that on an annual basis to kind of make sure and see if there's any tweaks we need to make. But at this point, it's been, you know, a few years. So we're not really using any other email addresses or warming them up necessarily anymore.
So you have a pretty good through rate for, I mean, obviously it's opened for other reasons, but you don't get any kickbacks at this point.
Well, you're still going to get emails kicked back, but then you go back to the drawing board on how to get in touch with them. We'll get with our research team and ask them to try and find some better emails for this potential buyer. Make sure to use LinkedIn or other social media to put messages in front of potential buyers as well.
And speaking of social media, do you see any value if your client has matching handles on social media that go with it? Is that anything that you emphasize or let your clients know? What importance does it play, if any, in the value of your package you're presenting?
Yeah, I think it's really valuable to have, if you have the exact match, especially if you're, you know, if you're selling a one word domain, you know, if the client has the owners, if they have the exact match X handle, Facebook, or Instagram, you know, those can go a long way in helping put a deal together or, you know, bring the offer up in the long run.
Have you ever had it be a negative? Have you ever had a client say, I would take this, but we're in fashion and we'd really like to see the Instagram? Has that really ever come up where they're looking to add it on when they're a buyer?
So you're saying on the buy side that they really want to have a name that has all of the handles that come with it?
Yeah, exactly. I've had a couple people that say, I would take this, but I'm in an industry that really needs an Insta handle. And if you could get that, I would definitely get the name or something along those lines.
Yeah, we have had a few like that. A lot of times, you know, I think for the most part, the acquisitions that we work on and that I've worked on have almost only been around the domain, and then they can figure out, you know, their way around the social handles if the exact match isn't available to them. But there have been a couple of instances. I'd say it's pretty rare that they said, you know, we have to have the Instagram or the X handle.
And how about settlement as far as crypto? A lot of people in the audience obviously have this. Is it something, are there any crypto escrows that you've had? Has crypto come into play at all in your domain name journey over the last couple of years?
Yeah, absolutely. We use escrow.domains for crypto transactions. Stevan Lieberman's been, you know, great. It's been a great resource for us to facilitate crypto transactions. So we do that. If it's a buyer that we've worked with on multiple deals, sometimes we could do a direct, you know, transaction. We'll facilitate the, you know, hold the crypto until the name gets transferred. But that's pretty far and few between. But escrow.domains is our go-to for that.
How about just regular escrow? What's your, how do
Yeah,
you?
escrow.com. We use escrow.com for, I'd say, 95% of our deals. There's been a few of the bigger ones as well that just go direct from lawyer to lawyer. Yeah, escrow.com.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And you've had, well, I guess you get premium service. You're one of the biggest domain brokers, so escrow.com's always working with you all the time. I know some of the smaller people have had a little bit more issues, but I know like Media Options and yourself always get the best handheld for every transaction.
Yeah, for sure. It's really nice. You know, we have a dedicated rep, and we can always tell the buyers that, you know, this process is going to be streamlined, and you know, we've done millions of dollars of transactions through escrow every year, so we've never really had a hiccup there.
How about now, do you see any trend? So over the last couple of years, if you were to take a high level view, what are some of the more popular categories that maybe you didn't see coming, I guess, or that are definitely more popular than they were a couple of years ago? Anything top of mind there?
So I think personal branding has really come a long way, especially in the last couple of years. And so personal names, whether it's first or last, we've had buyer requests, and we've sold several of those. So I think personal, one word, personal names, is a category that's heating up. And then geographical names have been pretty hot, pure one word geos. This year we've sold Philadelphia.com, Raleigh, the capital of North Carolina, Raleigh.com, and Houston.com. We co-brokered with Fred, and right now we still have Detroit.com on the market, and I think we're going to sell it by the end of the year. So yeah, I think these pure geo names are actually starting to heat up as well.
And what do you think is causing, do you think, I don't know, I haven't really looked to see what they're doing. Are they making travel or destination type sites? What's I mean, we've had that obviously for decades as far as these geo sites, but do you think there's a new emphasis because there's more, a better business model or more ability to monetize those? What do you think's behind that?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I know that Philadelphia went to a local, and I don't think they're using it yet, but you know, a local chamber where they're, you know, they deal with you know, visitors coming, you know, to Philadelphia, and so that they you know, they really wanted to secure the name for that reason, maybe funnel in traffic, get better SEO results. I saw the guy who bought Raleigh from us. He just has it pointed to like a Wikipedia page, so I'm not sure. I think he just said he just really loves the city, and so he wanted to own it. I think having a one word domain is just so powerful in today's internet landscape, that the geo ones, people just, they love the cities they live in, they love the cities that they do business in, and I think that if it's strong, short, and memorable, that there's demand.
And another thing that you reminded me of, are you any different at the higher level? Are you any different? I'm always amazed by how many people buy my domains and then nothing is landing on it. It literally sits there and doesn't go anywhere, even though they spent five figures or even six figures, that it doesn't go anywhere. Do you have some of those cases as well, where people spend big money and then nothing really happens with a domain?
Yeah, absolutely. It is funny. I think so last year or earlier this year, we had outbound sold a really good threeletter.com for a really nice price. And it was an upgrade. They were on the acronym with a keyword. And so I figured, they're just going to move over to that threeletter.com within a few months. And it's not resolving. It's not doing anything. It's almost like they just wanted to take it off the market. But yeah, it happens. I think it's still more often than not where, a big domain will sell and, you just see it kind of sit there with nothing on it. And it surprises me, but nowadays I'm just like, it's actually not as surprising. I'll be more surprised if I see something on the name sometimes.
Yeah, I used to give Mike Mann hell because he would sprout, he would post all these incredible names that he sold. And every time I would go to him, nothing landed on it. And I'd say, those can't be real. But as a more mature domain investor, I realized that has nothing to do with it. People buy and don't do anything with names every single day. So yeah, it's good to know. So if somebody says a domain sale and it doesn't move, that doesn't necessarily mean that they were lying. It happens all the time.
Yeah. And actually, we've had it happen where we've sold a name twice because the buyer for a domain, they never even updated their name servers. It was still on our landing page. And then another interested buyer came into our landing page, said they wanted the name. And so we're like, well, it's sold, but if you have a strong offer, happy to float it by the new owners. And the new owners are like, well, all right, negotiate it and get it sold. So funny when that happens too.
Yeah, no, commit to twice commissions. That's always nice.
Yep.
Hey, Josh, you got any other good questions for him? You guys have handled a lot of my stuff here. We can always go to the crowd. If anybody wants to come up and ask questions to Michael, this is a really good chance to talk to a broker. Michael, of all the, what would you say percentage of names you take versus the names, emails you get asking to broker a name? What percentage would you say you actually take on?
So, we are a little bit different than a lot of other, high-end brokers. We have a brokerage team and sales assistants and a research team to be able to handle, more names and even some, lower end names. So we're not, and I think we probably take on, maybe up to 50% of the names that get submitted to us. That might be on the high side, but a lot of times we might be cherry picking, some of the best ones out of a portfolio that gets sent to us and to say, we can give these a try, let's see what we can do. Let's get them in the mix. And sometimes just putting some names in our newsletter gets a whole fresh set of eyeballs on it. Our newsletter subscribership is something we've worked on really hard. We've got several thousand subscribers and they're not just domain investors. We have all the top brokers, of course, and top people in the industry who subscribe and they may have clients looking for domains. But also there's a lot of corporate domain buyers, entrepreneurs, developers. So the newsletter is a great channel as well. So it doesn't hurt to put different types of names in the newsletter.
We got any
Do we have any questions from the crowd? This is a good time, as we've been going for about an hour now, so we like to do a few questions before wrapping up. But if we don't have any other questions...
We've got Todd was the first to ask here, Todd Ryan, and then we'll get over to George here. But Todd, if you wanted to go ahead and ask a question, nice to see you up here. Todd's a seasoned domain investor, one of our favorite guys out west there, and he's the one who got me to get a dog. So that's another reason I love him.
What's up, Todd? Good looking dogs. Hey, Mike. Hey, thanks, Shane, and thanks, Josh. I wanted to come on and go, hey, Dr. Johnny Fee or WKRP. But, Mike, you were just talking about it, the newsletter. That's what I wanted to ask. How effective is the newsletter? I mean, you already just mentioned you have a couple thousand subscribers, but what type of names are you seeing the best response in your newsletter? Because I've talked to you about it, and I'm really interested in, you know, working with you guys specifically because of the newsletter. So what kind of results are you getting and what names do you find, you know, most effective there?
Yeah, good question. Honestly, all across the board, we get sales on all different types of names that are in that newsletter. We've had 7-figure deals all the way down to our bargain basement, which has, you know, under 1,000. So recently we've had some pretty good success with short domains on the newsletter. So some 3 and 4 letter, had a couple deals go through on those. 2word.coms, we've had quite a few this year that have sold. And then some of the 1-word alternative extensions have definitely gotten sold just through the newsletter.
Yeah, great pricing on the newsletter too. I mean, you have a lot of great, I mean, high quality names that, I mean, I'd say low retail, sometimes even high wholesale pricing. But thanks for being here today. Tell Brian I said hi, and I'll see you next month too.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it, Todd. Thanks for the question.
Thanks, Todd. George, I appreciate being so patient. George, go ahead and pick Michael's brain here. Can you hear us, George? You got your hand up there.
You might be muted, maybe, George.
I saw George's hand up earlier, but it looks like he's just a listener now. Maybe he went back down to off the speaker stage.
Okay, George, can you hear us now? Yeah. Let's move over to Crypto Reporter, another one of my favorite. He always has great questions, great information. Crypto, you got a question?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? GM. Yes, I did have a quick question for Michael. So by the name, yeah, Crypto Reporter, I'm very fascinated into the blockchain space, Web3, and everything crypto related. Are you guys seeing over there at Grid Brokerage a rise in, I would say, crypto-related domains, or do you see anybody paying in crypto? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing it. So I've brokered, I want to say, 3 or 4 .eth domains, and I've actually brokered an NFT as well. Most of the demand I see is for .eth domains. I think the thing with the other strings that are out there is that there's just so many of them. And so I feel personally that .eth is one of the better blockchain spaces as far as for speculating. There's just more sales volume on specific strings. And for blockchain domains, they're kind of like the OG, almost like, you know, if you have a super premium .eth name, it's almost like a flex, like having a punk or an ape or something like that. So if you put your .eth name into your, you know, onto your Twitter handle, I see a lot of OG crypto people, you know, kind of gravitating towards those types of names.
Okay, awesome. I didn't realize that, at least with the .eth, but that's good to know. But I would say more so for like the DNS names, or I guess the regular .com, .io, .xyz. Are you seeing any of those sell for crypto as well, or is it just the .eth names?
Yeah, so for like .coms, .ios, .ai, there are, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier, so that a lot of investors are going to go out and they're going to get names that have the words crypto or blockchain in them. But the blockchain and the crypto companies, they're gravitating towards the brands as well. So I think they'd rather have, you know, a good clean one word .io or .xyz, or, you know, even a .net or a .org. So I think that there is good demand for crypto related domains. One of my personal sales this year had the word Bitcoin in it. So there is demand for some of those domains with specific keywords. But I do think that crypto companies and blockchain companies are, you know, they're looking for good, clean one words as well that may not necessarily have those keywords in them.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys.
That's something that we always mention, that people go super generic on crypto, and crypto companies are usually just, they're pretty much just a business as well, right? They're trying to build a brand. So if you look at the biggest, maybe Coinbase has coin in it, but Gemini and Robinhood, and none of those people are using the actual keywords in their names, or not very often, not as often. So to go out and do nothing against ZK rollups, it's an important form in ZK and zero knowledge proof. But most of the companies aren't calling themselves zero knowledge proof. They're utilizing zero knowledge proof in their company, but they're not naming their company that. So I think Michael has probably proven that over and over. They're looking for brands just like anybody else. And does anybody else have any questions before we go? Josh, you have any questions? We've covered a lot. Michael, you've shared a ton of great information. You know, we're looking to be broad here and who we talk to about all areas of the industry. Next week, we've got Leanne Mack and we've got Todd from Dynadot. So we'll have Leanne. We all know her. She's super intelligent. Call her maybe a newer investor, but she's killing it. She's gone through Domain Academy and she's one of the brightest people in the industry. And then, of course, Todd at Dynadot's built a heck of a company, probably the fastest growing registrar out there. He's doing great things. He definitely moves the fastest. When you add things that you need in a registrar, he has them put in the system within weeks. It's absolutely amazing. Again, he's just done a really good job. So he'll be on here next week, next Wednesday at the same time, covering that angle, a new angle for us. So if anybody doesn't have any more questions, I'll get some final thoughts. Josh, any big moves? We had an assassin captured. We had me drop. We had penguins go high. There's plenty of money floating around here to spend on domain names.
Yeah, no, no news for me. I definitely appreciated that Magic Eden drop, and now I'm just like constantly checking my Magic Eden app and waiting for ME to go back to $10, and that, now I feel like I've got, you know, 20K to lose as opposed to a free 20K. So I don't know, life's good.
Yeah, I mean, for the people that they don't know the story, Josh and I were doing a domain Sherpa and recording it, and I said, hey, you know, you guys, have you checked your Magic Eden? I checked and I found I had $12,000 airdrop yesterday out of the blue, and I don't really trade that much. And Josh goes, well, let me check mine. And he texts me back, hey, I got $17,000. And so, and he wasn't even really, were you even looking at it before that, Josh? Or are you just being nice?
No. I wasn't even looking at it. I knew the whole like diamond thing came out 6-7 months ago, and then just like I felt like it just like fizzled out, and then I forgot about it, and I think I probably would have seen it over the course of these next few days, but it wasn't even on my radar yesterday. So
yeah, I was living through you. I mean, I was excited to get mine, but I think I texted you at night. I'm like, hey, it's at $7. And you're like, now I'm at 23,000 or I'm at 25,000. So this is a crazy ass world that we're in where people still drop money, but
bring back the internet funny money, please.
Yeah, it's one of the first airdrops kind of in this season that, you know, has been fairly substantial. Were you guys using Magic Eden quite a bit? Like, did you have some listings and some sales on there over the last, what, year? And that's why the airdrop was what it was for you?
I think mine was larger because I was one of a few people to actually like spend quite a lot of money on ordinals last year when those were like pretty popular. And ordinals are like Bitcoin NFTs. By that time, everyone had kind of like fizzled out of that world. But I was buying them on Magic Eden because that was the only place to buy them. So I think that's why I got a good airdrop. And then on top of that, if you were like trading at a pretty high volume, like I don't know, 2021, 2022, etc., I think that there was like a OG component to it as well. So, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did. Mine was the OG leftover from OpenSea. And then when they first dropped the diamonds, they said, if you do this, if you sign up for this wallet, you get more. If you do this, you get more. So I just went through like the hula hoop of doing all the things they wanted to get more diamonds. And then I think I bought 2 NFTs this year at Magic Eden. I really haven't done anything at all, but I did what they say and what they wanted to do in the beginning. And evidently that paid off. It's amazing how participation pays off today. You know, in the old day, the marketing dollars went towards other things, and now they pretty much pay you to participate. But all that money goes back into domain.
There was another big one, wasn't there, like fairly recently, like Hyper or something? Hyper
Liquid? Yeah. I heard that
was massive.
15 grand from arcade.xyz. One of the things there, I mean, they call it airdrop farming, but there is a process of working with somebody in a regular protocol regularly, and they do have airdrops. I see a future in domain names. I think I said this to you, Josh, that I think there's a future in registrars where you will get airdrops for bringing your names to their platforms or to using their stuff within. I think there'll be internet funny money in the domain industry to bring over your assets, because people want your assets in their platform. And I think they're going to, just like a brokerage, right? Remember, we used to have to pay for options trading. It's gotten to the point now where there are brokerage houses that will pay you to trade. It's unbelievable. Not only does it not cost money anymore, it's definitely free everywhere. And then there's other people willing to pay you. I think registrars will probably go into that same, I think it's going to get cheaper. Yes, the fees will always have to be paid to all the registries, but I think that margin is going to slip smaller and smaller as time goes on.
For sure. I agree with you. People want rewards.
Yep. People definitely want rewards. And we spend those rewards on domain names. And the more crypto goes up, the more Michael has a chance that people spend their funny money on real assets like domains. So that's where we'll leave it at today. All roads lead to domains. Who do we give credit to that? Do we give that credit to Rosner for that statement? Is he trademarked that?
Make life easy and just give him credit for everything.
Exactly. Rosner invented domains. You just remember that. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate everybody. Michael, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing everything. Again, you've been a great friend. You're a leader in this industry, and we appreciate you and Grit Brokerage doing what you do and taking the time today. Appreciate everybody out here in the audience listening. It will be recorded, so if you can share it with friends. Josh and I are going to try and do this every week if we can, bring on some great people in the industry so we all can get a little smarter and make a little more money buying and selling domain names. All right. Any last words, Michael?
I just wanted to, just shout out, say thanks to you guys again. And then to everybody in the audience, I see a lot of friends and some clients, some future, past clients as well. And, you know, just know that we appreciate all of you and everything that you guys all do for the industry.
Yep. So go to Grit Brokerage. GTDN.com, DSAD.com, and you can find us all here on X. Until next week, we'll see you guys then. Hope to find some good domains for you. Take care.
Thanks, guys.